Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mystery on the rocks, oh yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
And welcome to this Season 5 of Mystery on the Rocks, or as we're now calling it, History on the Rocks.
Is that a hint?
It is a slight hint. Hello, welcome to Season 5. We hope you've had a good break. We've had a lovely time. I was feeling like, I was listening back to the season finale, and it was like last day of school Japes. You know what I mean? It was like
bringing in board games.
Yeah, break in for Halloween.
It was.
Yeah, we're all dressed in non-uniform.
Scramble,
scramble.
Someone's brought in a Ziploc bag full of popcorn, and we've all had a good time. They've laid out the paper towels.
Someone brought in Cadbury's chocolate eclairs, bag of them, and they put some on every desk.
Yeah,
and David Barlow, I'm not convinced David Barlow wasn't a little touched. He started crying, and Mrs. McGregor went, "What are you crying for, David? He did used to cry a lot." So she wasn't going, "What are you crying for?"
Oh, right.
"What are you crying for, David?" And he went, "We're not allowed to eat sweets at school."
What a fucking loser.
I did. We were like 7, and I really remember it really well, because I remember thinking, what a fucking moron.
Yeah.
Like, just eat your Cadbury's chocolate eclair and get on with your life.
Shut up, mate.
It was someone's birthday. Yeah. It was just someone's birthday.
Did anybody chew one of their baby teeth out with it? Because that happened.
Oh, very probably.
Because that
very
happened probably. That happened to Adam Collins in
a Cadbury's chocolate eclair.
No, it was a Wham bar. It was a Wamba.
Oh, are they notoriously quite tough bars?
He bit into... Yeah, but...
Yeah, they're tough bars, Masood. You have to be a hard bastard.
The thing about Wambars, and for a while they did those really sour Iron Brew chew bars as well. The thing about those is that depending on the temperature, the consistency was very changeable.
And
they're very viscous.
You could either snap one off, or it was very gooey and you could stretch it like mozzarella. But sometimes, sometimes it was tough, and it would take your baby teeth out.
Well, this is I'm googling the Wham bar now. Why have I not got any fucking? You know, I'm going to do it on my computer.
I reckon actually, I'm going to make it my mission this season. This is my season 5 mission to try and recreate the taste of a Wham bar in a cocktail.
Can't do it.
I reckon
cocktail was the very second search term.
Well, was it?
Yeah.
Oh,
somebody already done it. Don't tell me. I want to experiment.
Oh, yeah, I suppose you could use bubblegum syrup or something.
Ooh. I mean, yeah, I reckon.
But Adam Collins, I think he said something and was trying to be hard, and he kind of made a point, and he was like, and then he bit into his Wamba, and then it took one of his milk teeth out with it.
Bloody hell. So it really undermined him.
Yeah, very much, very much. Yeah.
I was brushing
and then he said, "What do I do now?"
Someone puts his hand on his shoulder. It's like, "Now you are a man."
I think it was me. I said, "Oh, you should probably go and see Mrs. Hewitson."
What do you do?
Yeah, so he went to the teacher to say, "What can I do about this?" As if it was sort of
like a complaint.
Demanded compensation, yeah.
Where there's blame, there's a claim.
Yeah.
But it's a Wamba. Where there's wham, there's a...
There's a slam of your teeth coming out? I don't know.
No, forget it. Just forget I started that. Let's just move on.
I was thinking,
where there's wham, there's blam. And that there's works blam in the West Midlands.
Good.
Blam meaning money.
No, blam meaning blame.
Oh, yeah. I forget
where there's wham, there's blam.
No, I feel like you made that one up, Chris.
I feel like you've
stretched that one.
What? Masood's there
no,
going...
No, blam means blame.
Masood's going, I've rumbled you, Chris. I think no, you've blame. Made where there's wham, there's blam up.
I just feel like no one walks around saying blam meaning blame in the West Midlands.
Do you know what, actually? Blam means like shoot, doesn't it, in Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, blam. Yeah, it's like it's a descriptive term.
An onomatopoeic?
Like,
no.
Yes, yeah.
There is a...
Yeah, literally.
There is a Black Country yam-yam word that is blart. Don't know whether you know what that means.
It's
is
a,
it
about
the second
a,
name of a mall cop?
Yeah, it's about a security guard in a mall and he gets kicked by a horse.
But,
it's really dramatic.
But that's why poor blart mall cop plays very differently in the West Midlands.
I was gonna...
What does blart mean? Is it a shit?
No, it means cry. It means cry.
Oh, so poor
if,
cry.
Like, if you're crying, yeah. Someone goes, why am you blarting?
Why am y'all blarting?
What are y'all blarting for?
Wow.
Chris, stop making up
I'm
accents
not,
and
I'm
words.
Not. Listen,
it's like a
if
different
if there's
country,
any,
isn't
if
it?
There's any people, if there's any Yam Yam listeners to Mystery on the Rocks, please back me up.
Please also join the Twitter and announce yourself as a Yam Yam listener. I'd love to see that. I'd really
yam
love to see
yam
the,
listener
our
unite.
Feed.
And oh, y'all a listener to Mystery on the Rocks. Then yam yam yam.
There's going to be like two of them, and then we're going to end up doing a live show there to just them.
We go to Dudley Town Hall.
I envision also a future where that accent somehow becomes racist, and there's something quite funny about the world where it's like,
and people
you
play
can't
this episode,
that.
People play this episode, and they're like, back in 2021, this was deemed acceptable, and
yeah.
Chris is like, canceled. Why are y'all blarting? And then there's just a commentator going, it's chilling now to listen to, but back then, the laughter of Chris and Masood, who have since been cancelled, was considered valid.
It's, and just like cut to someone like someone being interviewed, be like, Amyao thought it was funny. Like, fucking hell, what is... Oh yes, well, we should probably introduce ourselves. With me as always.
It's been a while.
Probably,
we've been on a season break.
We've probably
sorry,
got
everybody.
A load of new listeners after we lusted after Kenny Brenny.
Kenny Brenny.
Petition to make that the nickname. Kenny Brenny.
The fantastic voices you are hearing along with mine are the amazing Suze Kempner.
Hello.
And the incredible Chris Stokes.
Hello. You're right.
And I'm, of course, Masood Miles. Hello, hello.
I think we should do Mystery on the Rocks where we all do each other's sports. So you guys
each other's sports? I haven't got a sport.
Diving.
But which yeah, I stopped when I was 14. I mean,
yeah,
like, I haven't done
that,
it.
So what?
23
that's
years
ages.
Has been.
Yeah.
I haven't done a high board dive in 23 years.
Well, you don't have to. Masood's going to.
I'm
going to
do it for
it.
You because
oh,
you're going to
do better than I ever was.
I'm going to play tennis.
I want to see Masood in a swimming cap.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Just like as Sunil Patel once put it, like a little brown egg. He's right though. I have worn a swimming cap. I used to go swimming quite a bit, and I did get a swimming cap because this hair doesn't really it's not very aerodynamic.
Yeah, what happens if you get it very wet?
It just it's
oh what?
Quite a,
so you were racing?
Well, no, I was just
Masood's racing.
Masood's racing people that they didn't know he was
letting
racing
out,
them.
And I
he's
and
like,
I get to the end of the pool,
way, Grandma.
And I just like I fist pump and just be like yes, even though they didn't.
He does this. He gets to the end of the pool and then he looks up at an imaginary screen.
And he's going.
And then goes. Yeah.
Yeah. And he sees the time and he does that.
And he points
like,
and he's like, yeah.
Oh, the head and the hands with the tears. Like, oh. And then I walk
hug
over.
Hug your coat. He hugs his coach, but it's just a lifeguard. He's like, what are you doing, mate?
Then I just walk
also,
over
I imagine
someone.
Masood goes to swim in like the kind of pool that Average Joe's gym might have.
Yes, that's exactly where I go swimming.
It's got
you
moss
go
in it.
You got to go through the Veruca bath before.
It's God.
I was talking to somebody about that, and this might be like, when did they phase those out?
I didn't know they did.
I don't think they have. Yeah.
Okay, well,
there's
a lot of swimming
years.
Pools that I've been to recently where they don't have them at all. And that's been
that's because Veruca's
we're talking
are
about
over.
15 years. Have we cured Veruca's? Are Veruca's
yeah, they're,
done?
They're over. They're like smallpox. They're done.
Yeah,
they're
I'm
over.
Pretty sure they're done.
Well, I never had my Veruca vaccine, so.
Yeah, remember... well, you were just lucky the rest of us did.
Well, I didn't want that stuff in my veins, all right? So
my
keeping
body, my
you
choice.
Safe. I had to eat so many Veruca's just to keep you safe.
Oh, Christ.
Look at Masood imagining eating a verruca.
Like a little disc.
Picking it out of the... well, they have roots, don't they? You'd pick them out and they'd be like, they'd have a little root in them.
Like a little horrible tree made out of rotting flesh. I've never had one.
I had two.
You never had a verruca?
Yeah, never got one.
Oh, okay. Well, here's the thing. As a child doing a lot of swimming and diving in the 90s, I had loads of verrucas.
Chris was just like a verruca boy.
I just imagine this, like, it was like not, just a bunch of
I'm them. Not exaggerating. I once had to go swimming wearing a pair of verruca socks.
Oh, no. Fucking legend.
What,
and
two on each foot?
Water.
One on each foot, yeah.
One
on each. I thought you meant like double. I thought you doubled up. I thought you were reacting.
He was like, I don't want. He was like, I don't want any of these.
I'm being extra
out.
Safe, baby.
Yeah, two on each foot. That's right.
Oh, this is for you, Paul. And then I'm desperate for you guys. Have you ever been on a horse, either of you?
No. Oh, when I was probably about four, and I've got a vague memory of it, but I think kind of put there and steadied on it.
Gotcha. You weren't, didn't, there wasn't a point where you were like, I steered a horse around.
I never cantered.
Oh, no. I mean, yeah, probably similar when I was quite young, put on a horse, but not ridden properly. I mean, get on the horse, go to the shops, buy me some cigarettes and some yes.
I really like the idea that it's just a new thing we find out. Masoodi's like, yeah, I used to ride a horse down the shops. Well, that's the only riding I've done.
That's the other.
Yeah, what? In Hong Kong, we had a horse and I used to ride down the shops. You might know him, actually. His name was Everest Milton. I'm like, Masoodi, that's the greatest show jumper of all time.
I love the idea, actually.
I
love the idea that actually one of the reasons that Masood's mum had to move to Hong Kong initially was because she stole sugar.
She's... I mean, you know what? At this point, I probably would believe that.
Masood,
you know?
Yeah, things got out of hand.
Masood went to the news agents on sugar. No one was any the wiser.
I just thought it was a big cat. I had no idea.
We had to get down the shops. It felt normal at the time. Yeah,
it was totally
he was eventually sold to John Whittaker, who had a lot of success, as far as I know. Yeah, you guys, I'm getting you on a horse. I know the horse. He's called Hobnob. It's going to happen.
Hobnob. Ooh,
amazing.
A lot of fun.
What are we drinking?
What are we drinking? What do you have, Chris?
I have got... What do you think that looks like?
That looks like a kind of espresso
coffee.
Martini type.
You are halfway there. Mm-hmm. So what
espresso.
This is there is indeed a measure of espresso in there.
Ooh.
Actual espresso. And then there is smoky whiskey.
Yum, 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 yum.
And salted caramel vodka.
Whoa, that sounds incredible.
You just poured yourself a decadence.
And I was thinking about what to call it. Decadence is... So the salty caramel vodka came from the Lakes Distillery, which is a distillery in the Lake District, which does English whiskey. But also, obviously, you have to wait before you can sell your whiskey. So they make other stuff in the meantime so they could sell immediately from when they opened.
Yeah.
Gin and vodka. And then the salty caramel vodka intrigued me. And it's tasty, and it works really well with the coffee and the smoky whiskey. So the smoky whiskey is Scotch, by the way. It's not from the Lakes Distillery, but it is like it hits bitter for the coffee, sweet from the salted caramel, and smoky with the whiskey. It is a taste sensation.
Yeah, it feels very much like the kind of thing I wish a chain coffee shop would do.
I have another suggestion for the name because they're equal measurements.
Yeah.
I'd like to call it a perfect decadence.
Ooh, yeah.
That's good.
That's good. It's good.
That's good.
A perfect decadence. That's good. Nice.
What have you got, Suze?
I got a cucumber delight.
Ooh.
Is it found water it with cucumber in it?
It's delightful.
That's what I call it, Chris.
water, lovely drink.
Our complete nonplussed faces when you did that.
It was Susie's little chuckle that made that for me, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, we just...
So.
It's the same face I give to Lucy if she does something that's kind of amusing for her that I'm like... Yeah, we've got to go now, so...
Well, you've done your little turn, and now we're off. Orange liqueur, yeah? Mm-hmm. It's a little bit like a margarita. 1.5 parts orange liqueur, 1 part gin, 1/2 part lime juice, and then cucumber, and then top it with tonic water.
There's a kind of margarita
and then
base.
Lots of ice. It's very... I've just tasted it. It's really nice. It's sort of halfway between a margarita... and like a really nice gin and tonic.
I was going to say, yeah, that sounds very nice.
It's really nice. I like, if the weather was nice, this would be lovely.
And it's a long drink, listener. It's very long. It's a tall
drink.
I've
got it in a highball glass. Can't say glass. When the weather's nice again, I'll drink this in my garden.
Yeah, that sounds great. I want one now. I'll go get some.
I shouldn't have written it off. I'm sorry. What about you, Masood? What are you drinking?
I'm really pulling in the real basic bitch wagon here. I got
it's, a. It looks lovely. It's lovely.
It's a Cosmopolitan.
You got Cosmo.
Yeah, yeah.
We haven't had a Cosmopolitan on the show at all.
We've never had one.
I've never drunk one.
This might be the first appearance of the Cosmopolitan on Mystery on the Rocks.
I've never had one.
Season 5, Cosmopolitan.
Should we all go out for Cosmos? And then we can be like, which one from Sex and the City are you? And Masood's like, I'm Charlotte because I'm so pure.
And Chris is like, I'm Carrie
because Mr. Big does my head in. And I'm like, I'm the gay one. Bye.
Cynthia Nixon's gay bloke.
She's gay in real life, but yeah. I'm Stanford from Sex and the City, who's just like, hi girls, and that's what I do when I arrive and see you both. I go, hi girls. Sex and the City, starring Mystery on the Rocks, drinking Cosmos like fucking arseholes.
It could work.
It could definitely work. I would love to see that version.
It's gonna
of the show.
Work.
So, Chris, what do you have for us at the beginning of season 5?
Yeah, what is this season? Well, what could it be?
What could it be? We're going to start from one case. And also, this isn't just the first episode of season 5. This is our 100th case.
What?
Yay!
So, we already did the 100th episode back in season 4, but not all our episodes have been cases. This is our 100th case.
Our 100th case.
So, what a way to kick off season 5. And we thought, let's start here. Work our way chronologically forwards and see if we can link this one to another one, another biggie, almost 100 years later.
Yes.
And see
if we can connect themes, because they're back.
And see if we can connect the dots. Yes. So this is kind of vaguely we're starting in 1916, and we're going to go nearly 100 years in the future and see if we can connect the dots. And it's vaguely going to be the geopolitics of the 20th century, I guess.
That sounds
a bit wanky for us, doesn't it? But
no, we're a serious podcast where you get your history and mystery.
Yeah, speak for yourself, Chris. Masood sips a Cosmopolitan.
So
I got Freddie Mercury's ass behind me. There's a cardboard cutout of Freddie Mercury, and his ass is always just over my shoulder.
I enjoy it. It's probably one of my favorite things that I know that he's just there.
I did my last lockdown Zoom gig was about a month and a half ago, and I got halfway through the gig, and the audience were there in the Zoom, and a woman just went, "Oh, it's Freddie Mercury. I thought it was Hitler."
In jeans.
And literally,
Hitler in jeans. Brilliant.
And it's so obviously Freddie Mercury.
Of course it is.
It's like
quintessential Freddie Mercury.
Yeah. Mm. He's got a vest on. Like, oh, is it Hitler in a vest with a leather arm bracelet? Like.
Could you imagine Hitler working the Nuremberg crowd like that?
Yeah. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. He's like, hammer to fall. Tall and proud in the shadow of a mushroom cloud. Lift your head, one dream, one vision.
Fat bottom girls.
he probably didn't like them. He probably liked them more skinny and
waif-like. Yeah. So, Chris, we're starting in 1916.
I figured this was a good one. This was a good one to kind of start with because I feel like it might be a snowball,
yes,
potentially.
Ooh, a good Christmas cocktail.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
Is that how you say it? That's a bingo?
Did you say bingo? That's two episodes in a row.
Yeah, there is two episodes in a row we've done that. It's been a long time since the last episode.
Yes.
It's been like three years since the last episode.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Can't believe we recorded that batch.
I thought we would start with the mad monk himself.
Oh,
Rasputin!
Rasputin! Oh. Biggest dick I've ever seen!
I've definitely been doing my research and listening to plenty of Boney M. by the rivers of Babylon.
Oh, is that
the one?
Because of that. Mary's boy child, Jesus Rasputin. Christ, his dad was Rasputin.
There's a guy in Boney M, and I don't know what he does except for dance awkwardly.
Oh, no, that is all he does. There's
I
a
think
great...
he's just a dancer. He's like Bez.
Wasn't he the brother that the mum made have in the band?
He was Boney.
I thought it was M. I always thought
Boney
he was M.
Because they used to be called Boney and the M's.
I think it's Daddy Cool. There's like a video of it, and he just dances. That's all he does.
Rasputin.
Does anybody know why they decided to do a song about Rasputin? Because it's a weird sell, I think.
I know.
It's like, imagine that. You go to the production company, you're like, yeah, so it's about this guy. Yeah, he had a big dick. He was Russian.
He had a huge dick.
This might be an unpopular opinion, but that song is, I don't like it.
Chris, so, what the fuck is wrong?
What is it about?
I tell you what, I think
it the key change?
Chris hates key changes.
No, it's the weird guy that's just dancing. I don't get it.
Yeah.
It goes, okay, so they've gone, do you know what? I mean, someone was obviously reading a book about Rasputin. And they're like, I'm reading this book about Rasputin. And then someone started going, Rasputin. Oh, yeah, no, I like that. Rasputin.
Oh, my God, it's the original Hamilton.
I think this is great. Rasputin. And then what's the next line? Lover of the Russian Queen. Yeah, you're onto something. What's the next line? And then that guy who dances all the time goes, there was a cat that really was gone. And it's like, yes, mate, that's the line.
Hi, Boney.
We'll put it in pencil though, because we might think of a better one. They didn't think of a better one.
They didn't think of
that.
That's
what they just went out and drank.
As soon as it goes to "There was a cat that really was gone," I'm like, I don't like that.
There was a cat that really was gone. It's a song you can't kill either. Like, you can't kill Rasputin, you can't kill
that
song.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, like, there are other lines that they could have put in that wouldn't have been less crazy than the song. Like, Rasputin, lover of the Russian queen. You've already set your stall out. It doesn't.
Yeah, that's
Chris,
not,
are you trying out your tight five of Rasputin?
I have a funny feeling.
No.
Is.
These are all just thoughts that are occurring to me right now.
Chris goes on stage. Hey, real talk.
Does anyone remember the 1970 song by Boney M, Rasputin?
And, and Chris loses his mind because people are like, yeah, I remember it. Why are you bringing it up? He's like, oh, no, you're meant to go, yes! Yes, finally someone's talking about... Chris is like, right, real talk. Matt,
I roll
Matt
my
Mark,
sleeves
what
up.
Do you think?
I'm like, all right, this has been a long time coming. I think someone should say it.
He's shadow boxing off stage, and I'm stood with another comic. I'm stood with Sunil, and he's going.
Sunil's going. That's history.
Because Sunil's doing that's history. He's like, what's Chris doing? I go, okay, so he's written a type 5 for Rasputin. Yeah. He's really excited to try it out. He thinks it's going to be a comedy game changer. And he's like, what, for him? No, for comedy.
No, for comedy. And he does
Chris
it.
And I'm like, please, welcome to this. I'm comparing for some reason. Please welcome to the stage, Chris Stokes. And Chris is like, and he's hitting his chest like the Olympic swimmers do. He comes on, he's all red because he's been hitting himself.
Wearing a swimming cap.
Like a little egg.
It's a little egg from the back of the room.
And he's like, and then it really throws Chris off.
And he's like, oh, wait, what
just
was
Masu going, he's a little egg.
What was I thinking? What was it?
But it throws me off so much that I go, does anyone remember the song by Boney M from the 70s, Little Egg?
And you just
know,
you look off in the distance for ages. It's like,
And then I go on stage, I try and save it. I go, hey, look, it's been a long time since a lot of us have done comedy. And Chris is like, I've done loads of fucking gigs, you bitch. And I'm like, wow, okay, wow.
The whole audience is silent except for me. And I'm dying with laughter, like absolutely killing myself. I'm like,
Masood is like, he's like Cape Fear. He's like Robert De Niro in Cape Fear.
With a cigar.
And they're like, sir, you can't smoke in here. And he's like, ha, 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 he does that weird De Niro laugh.
Oh, make it happen.
I can do that bit if you want next time we gig together.
No, Chris, I'm saying don't.
Oh.
So
I like the bit where you went, these are just thoughts occurring.
These are thoughts. These are just thoughts occurring to me. So Rasputin, our big
Rasputin.
Mad, the mad monk himself.
Yeah.
He was 6'8". He wasn't.
He was tallish, though, for the time, wasn't he?
He was just imposing. He had the beard that was like looked weird in all photographs. Wherever you put him, in any photograph, there are photographs of him in the 1800s. There are photographs of him in 1911. That big beard, he'd look weird in any photograph at any point in time.
He also had, me and Rasputin have the same eyes. And it
Hang
means
on.
What?
I don't like this.
Yeah, I'm going to Google that myself.
I'm doing it.
So, Chris.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I could play Rasputin in your sketch, Chris. When you do your sketch.
Okay, so there's a photograph of...
Yeah.
I got Rasputin eyes.
There's a weird photograph of him dressed in white, surrounded by...
There's a song that didn't take off. Rasputin.
You said there was a song that really didn't take off. Like, there was a cat that really was gone, and it fucked with me. My brain was like, that's the song. That was a song that didn't take off. He's surrounded by Alexander and then her children and then the nurse. It's a photograph taken in 1908. Because you know how he was... Well, we'll get into this. But basically, the Tsar's...
Oh, the Smithsonian one. Is that the photo?
Oh, here he is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty
terrifying. It's the Wikipedia image, isn't it?
I think that the best person to play... There are two people that I would cast as Rasputin.
Yeah.
And it would be Viggo Mortensen.
Oh, yeah. Or, he's great. He's a shapeshifter.
Or Javier Bardem. I reckon he'd do a good Rasputin.
Ooh.
Yeah,
that's a bingo.
I reckon he would. Yeah.
Yes.
So, Chris, you've...
Does anybody know who Rasputin is? I mean, I know you two do. I'm asking a rhetorical question to the listeners.
I feel like everyone who hears the word Rasputin, an adult, who hears the word Rasputin would go, yeah, and they'd immediately picture him. But I wonder how many people would know what he actually
did.
So as a little boy in the late 80s and the early 90s who enjoyed the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they did an episode where they met the Punk Frogs. And the Punk Frogs were engineered from frogs artificially in the same way that the turtles came from turtles, by an accident. But Shredder engineered some frogs, and he called them, like Splinter had called the turtles after his favourite painters, Leonardo, Donatello, Raphael, and Michelangelo.
Yeah, he was such a dick.
What a nerd. What a
Shredder
nerd.
Called the Punk Frogs after four of his heroes. And because Shredder was a baddie, his heroes were villains. He called the Punk Frogs Napoleon, Genghis, Attila, and Rasputin. And that was where I first heard the name Rasputin. One of the Punk Frogs.
So they were jerks.
Yeah, they didn't get on with the turtles. There was rivalry.
Did every turtle have a counterpart that was a punk frog? And the Michelangelo one was like on fucking heroin and was like...
Yeah, he's like, hey man, have you got like $5? I'll suck your dick, man. And he's like, whoa.
Okay, well, I mean, it was a children's cartoon, so no. But
what? None of the punk frogs said they'll suck your dick. This cartoon's
what the fuck is up with
Chris
this cartoon?
Like,
it's bullshit.
No, that was in the original comics.
Oh right, of course. Yeah.
I don't remember whether it was that layered or not, and whether there was like a counterpart frog to the turtles.
Oh,
well,
yes,
they
yeah.
missed a trick.
I remember them. I remember even as a kid thinking they're not punks.
I've just seen a picture of them, and they just have open shirts.
They have Hawaiian shirts on, don't they?
What the fuck is that?
They got Hawaiian shirts on.
So they were wearing clothes, which means the turtles were permanently naked.
Yeah.
Da da da, dicks on display.
That's why they wanted to suck them.
That's why they suck them. Yeah. They're out.
That's why the frogs were like hungry for dick.
Ready for the taken. The punk frogs
loved
it. I love to meet the fucking poor artist that's like, you gotta make a punk frogs, and he's like,
but
Hawaiian shirts? I don't fucking know.
Do you know what? You know Bebop and Rocksteady?
Yeah.
Banging on the reg.
Big time. Big
crushing
time.
Ass.
Those two were each other. Those two were
they loved it. They pumping. Were just like,
I know what you're thinking. What if Bebop fucked Rocksteady? Do you remember that?
No, that's my material. Not you can say. That's something I don't be a joke thief.
All right, I'm sorry.
This is being recorded. Chris goes on stage. He's like, I know what you're thinking. What if Bebop fuck Rocksteady? The audience just erupt, carry Chris out of the comedy club on their shoulders, and yeah. I'm just left in there going,
yeah,
no fucking way. And Masood's like, don't worry, I got your back. And then the next, and I'm like, thanks, really appreciate it. Next thing I know, I just see a tweet and it's Masood going, saw the greatest comedy performance I've ever seen in my life tonight. It was
it's
Chris
really
Stone.
Amazing that he came back from the Rasputin bit.
I thought you were going to say, I go on stage and I've got a little swimming cap on and I just slap my head and I go, I'm a little brown egg. And that's
like,
it.
Why are you even doing your bit, Masood? You know what? Everyone left Masood, with Chris.
You know when you said, if you went on stage and you just you popped a swimming cap on and it was like, you know when Sideshow Bob goes swimming and you just sort of like go boom, and it slaps on your head like that.
Yeah.
And then you've got like this tiny little swimming cap on and a little bit of afro coming out. Yeah. And then you just go, I'm a little brown egg.
That is legit. Like, there are acts who were doing less when I started doing open mic.
I'm a little brown egg.
I'm a little brown egg wizard.
And yes. Masood leaves the stage going, bye. Oh, God, he's walking past. Don't make eye contact. Too cool.
He's too cool to talk to us.
Stop slapping your head.
Rasputin.
Both of you.
Yeah, the, first
yeah, the reason I brought the punk frogs up was because that was where I first heard the name Rasputin. Now,
yes.
I then was like, I was like, oh, so I looked up where the names would come from. So Attila the Hun, Genghis Khan, and Napoleon all felt, even though Napoleon was more recent than Genghis Khan and Attila the Hun, I felt, well, they're historic. But then you find out that Rasputin was in the 20th century and he died in 1916. And when you actually think that one of his daughters lived until 1977.
Oh, in America.
Yeah. As a lion tamer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We could do an episode on her.
Well, we're not at 1977 yet. Maybe we will when we get there. But
year of Scorsese's New York, New York. Great film musical. Underappreciated.
Rasputin's direct descendants shared the planet with Scorsese.
That's mad.
Basically,
for a while.
Rasputin has permeated into, like, legend, despite the fact that he died comparatively recently.
Mm. Yeah, he does feel like someone from the 1700s.
He weighs heavy. Yes. He feels like Vlad the Impaler, or do you know what I mean? Like almost like a mythical being. And there's a lot of legend around him, and that's kind of why I think he qualifies for us to talk about him, because
absolutely
the manner of his death is. Mm. It's Rasputed, isn't it? It's disputed.
Is that your punchline?
Mate, I'm building... so I do 5 minutes on the song.
And he's like, that's what you end with?
And then, and then he's like, on an applause break, Chris goes, okay, we've done the song, now let's do the man. That's what she said, and everyone goes berserk.
Can you imagine doing an Edinburgh show, and I call it Rasputed?
Yes, I can imagine that, Chris. I can imagine you doing that.
Good, because I'm going to.
Yeah.
Edinburgh 2022, Rasputed, the Chris Stokes experience.
Oh, God.
No, I like the idea of doing 5 minutes on the song and then ending with the punchline that we're not really sure who wrote it. Authorship is Rasputed.
Oh, fucking.
And I just imagine, yes, that's exactly what I imagine. The whole audience silent and then one person go, oh, for
and then I lean into the audience and I take Masood's cigar off him and I go.
I will happily sit in the front row of every playing of this show.
Oh my God! Imagine it's like 2 years time and Chris is like, hey, guys, can you come to my gig tonight? And we're like, are you gonna do the Rasputin bit? No.
No.
And he goes on stage. He goes
every
Boney
time.
M.
And then I'm like,
ah.
And so I reach into my top pocket and pull out a cigar because I knew he was going to fucking do it. It's like, ah, shit.
Puts in his fucking hell.
So Rasputin, this sort of like totemic figure of evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Despite the fact.
Mm, mysticism.
Yeah. Well, he was a Russian mystic, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who had, you know, a very big ties with the very big, quite famous Russian family.
Oh my God, he was there.
The royal family.
Yeah,
the royal family. But the reason that I think he qualifies is because if you... I mean, the biggest story about Rasputin is actually the story of his assassination.
Yes.
How that came about, because he already had this, like, I mean, they wanted to assassinate him because, boringly, they just didn't like the influence he had over the royal family. So
yeah,
they decided
absolutely.
To get rid of him. But because he'd been built up in the press, the Russian press, as a mystic, to sort of like big up this idea of him being a malevolent influence, that legend kind of like carried on. So the story about him dying is the fact that he was really hard to kill.
Yes.
So what do you know about the story about...
About his death?
Yeah, because there are different versions of it.
Well, they tried to assassinate him a few times.
Well, so first of all, we'll rewind to 1914. And
rewind!
And he was stabbed in the stomach. And he was stabbed
by the lady with no nose.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And
you seen pictures of her?
No, I think I have, like, a while ago.
Look up the lady with no nose. You're about to have your mind fucking blown. Masood fancies her.
Yeah.
Are you surprised? Ooh, yeah.
Are you surprised? Ooh. Oh my goodness.
I'm gonna look at it again. Yeah, fucking hell! Look at her face. It looks like a dent.
Yeah,
just a dent in her face.
Oh
yeah.
No, this was a woman that ended up on This Morning.
Yeah, no, I saw that. I saw that was where I went first, and I didn't mention
it. So, Konya, you tried to kill Rasputin.
Why did you try and kill Rasputin? Was he a cat that really was gone? Thank you for the question, Phil.
And then Holly and Phil are like, "Oh, stop it! We're giggling."
Klonia Gaseva is the name of the woman who stabbed him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
She stabbed him. She was the follower of a religious figure who Rasputin had been a protege of. But the guy had, because Rasputin's reputation was that of debauchery. In fact, actually, that's what the name means, because he was born.
He was
born Grigory Yefimovich. But Rasputin actually was a nickname, apparently.
Oh, right, so he's just, like, fucking around the town. People are like, look at that Rasputin over there. And he's like,
So he was, he was born Grigory Yefimovich in 1872 in a tiny Siberian village. And by the time he had...
full beard.
Reached the age of 15, because he behaved so badly, the nickname given to him was Rasputin. And Rasputin was apparently Russian for debauchee, as in, like, somebody who is debauched. I'm going to... check now, because I Rasputed that fact.
Because he is basically a giant shitster, essentially. He just sort of wandered around and
very,
just like, what's up? he was that guy in the 90s. He was just showing up and be like, what's up?
What's up?
And I'm like, oh, Rasputin's here. Brilliant. Okay.
Rasputin was quite a cut-up, wasn't he? He'd show up at society events and just, like, mug off society people. And they'd go like, what? No fucking way, you're kidding. Everyone respects us, you don't at all. And he'd just be like, whatever, Minga.
And they're like,
and they loved it.
They loved it. They were like, Russia.
Oh my God, he called her a Minga, that guy with the beard.
Yeah.
I mean, if, what I don't understand.
It's the same experience I have if I go into a room full of rich people. They're like, look at him, he's not white. Say something in your funny accent. I'm like,
oh, do it. And it's just like, it's just an accent.
So we're Rasputin, so about his death. So he was stabbed by this no-no.
This wasn't the death. This was an assassination attempt 2 years previously. Yeah. Now, the guy who she was a follower of, had denounced Rasputin for his debauchery because rumours had spread that he was having a sexual relationship, not just with the Tsar's wife, but with their children. And they made out like he was this, like, totem of evil, which has permeated.
His deviancy is, like, obviously so overblown.
Yeah, it feels very quite legendary. I think because of his involvement with the Tsars and the Russian royal family.
There's also, like, spoiler alert, not long from now, there was a revolution.
Oh, yeah.
And
children of the revolution.
Yeah, yeah. I've got thoughts about that song as well, actually.
I'm not T-Rex, Chris. Leave them alone.
I don't know how they wrote it with such tiny arms.
Oh, God. How did T-Rex write all those songs with
their little arms?
How did they reach into the pen pot? Chris, shut up.
Yeah, you got rid of my
and I'm like, get off the fucking stage. You've ruined this for everyone, including...
The man is a national treasure, you fucking piece of shit. Do you know what I can't believe?
You've ruined this for yourself and everyone else.
I feel like this is such a left turn for me, material-wise, to be ended up on stage doing this stuff.
Yeah, I'd love... I mean, again, pay to see it. Absolutely. I'll pay you full price, Chris. I'll buy the ticket.
Shall I do a character act of just somebody whose material that is? I don't even know what the character is.
I mean, the character is...
And the choice turns out to be, like, Chris is like, finally, I'm my true self.
Yeah, and like, and then that character becomes hyper-successful, like, incredibly successful. And you're on...
And he's called, like, Chris Snokes.
Yeah. And I was like, have you seen Chris Snokes? What, the guy...
I'm like, yes, I've seen Chris Snokes. Fucking hell, I saw him be born. It was awful. And everyone's like, you're jealous of his success. Then they go and see the actor, like, oh, I don't think you are. I think it goes deeper than that.
There must be something else here. I don't understand. What's the subtext? Because there doesn't seem to be any.
No, that's the bit. That's the bit. There is no subtext. That's the whole thing.
And they're like, Masood, have you got a swimming cap on? And Masood goes, are you ready?
Are you ready?
Masood, shall I do it? And I'm like, no. And he goes, little brown egg.
I'm Chris's open.
We've just described the worst comedy show you could ever go and see, and that is Chris Snokes opening for Little Brown Egg.
Little Brown Egg.
You've sat through Chris Snokes for 25
little
minutes,
brown egg, yeah.
And then
I
you get an hour
you.
And 15 minutes of Little Brown Egg.
Of me slapping my head with a shower
this
cap.
It's like landslide. It's like twee landslide.
This is worse than anything Rasputin ever did.
It is. I think these are crimes against humanity. Definitely.
This is worse than anything that people said Rasputin ever did.
So he was stabbed in the stomach by this by this fanatic of his previous sort of like...
Mentor,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Who denounced him. So she stabbed him in the stomach and it looked like he was going to die.
Yeah.
And then didn't. Which was also possible back then. But people thought it was a miracle, and they were like,
"He played it up as well."
By rights, he should have died from those wounds, but he didn't. Oh my goodness! Now this was already after he had a reputation as a mystic because he found favor with the Tsar's wife because their son was it hemophilia?
He was a hemophiliac. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
but they didn't really know what that was.
Yeah, it was.
And this is in the era when aspirin was quite new.
Oh my goodness.
And
yeah.
So yeah.
Have you got this?
Yeah, yeah. So no, but you say it. I like this because I wanted to start with Rasputin because I know that you know a lot about it.
I love
so
Rasputin.
We can all jump in. It's not
Okay, okay.
So you pick up the aspirin baton, please.
They had the Romanovs had a very sickly son and he was a hemophiliac, but they didn't really know what that was.
The Romanovs were the royal family, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The wonder drug that was around at that time was aspirin. And they were like, there was this element of, in society at that time, like, aspirin is amazing. It'll cure anything because it would cure a hangover as well as you can cure a hangover. So they were like, it must be able to cure anything. So they kept giving this kid aspirin, which thins your blood, which is very bad for a hemophiliac. And Rasputin had healing powers because they would get in touch with Rasputin and go, the kid's sick. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And he's like, I will think about how he should be better and don't give him any medication. Lo and behold, they stopped giving him aspirin and he got better.
And then, exactly.
So that kept happening, basically. Yeah.
But because they didn't really know how aspirin worked in that regard or understand haemophilia, she in particular thought that Rasputin was a miracle worker.
Yeah.
And was single-handedly, by magic, keeping her son Alexei alive.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The other thing that should be said about the Romanovs is I don't think they were particularly bad people, and as a couple, they seemed to really care about each other, but that also meant they really bigged each other up.
Yep.
So, and he was a shitty leader, but he'd always have his wife, who really loved him, they really loved each other, going, "You're doing such a great job, baby!" And it meant just like fucking shite decisions continuously.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
because she'd be like, "That's such a good idea, hon."
It's probably the worst combination of a power couple in charge of a country.
Alexandra, who was the boy's mother and the Tsar's wife, she was so convinced that Rasputin was a miracle worker and a mystic healing man that he became very, very, very quickly, because if you've got to remember, he was seen as curing their child and keeping their son alive, that he became very influential because he was very close to them. So he was able to advise them and all of this sort of stuff. And it made a lot of people who were already uneasy with how the Romanovs were ruling even more uneasy. And Rasputin became like a bogeyman. And that's why he's a bogeyman now.
Yeah. Because he was a real life one at the time. He was like, they're like, fuck, this is the last person we want in that position.
This is insane when you think about it, because Attila the Hun and Genghis Khan, while they would have had political cartoons drawn about them, I guess, they don't survive anymore. You can look at the political cartoons about Rasputin.
Yeah.
Like all of the topical jokes that were being made. And I mean, to be fair, because he was a weird looking man, you could make him look evil really easily.
Yes. Yeah. And I think Rasputin kind of was like, he went into it.
I'm going to lean in.
Because sometimes it's good to be infamous.
Yeah. Mm. It's the one thing I think a lot of people don't do enough if they kind of like, you know, like in that Rasputin-y kind of way. Like they're not any Rasputins today, is what I'm saying.
And Dominic they're not leaning into Cummings. It.
Dominic Cummings is the Rasputin of the modern era. Only unlike Rasputin, he wasn't cool.
Or attractive.
Rasputin fucked a lot.
Nah. Yeah, Rasputin crushed ass.
Oh,
got his dick wet.
Yeah, got his dick wet.
It was like, pow, 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 pow.
Gunshots and cum shots from old Rasputin.
There were gunshots later on.
Spoiler alert.
And cum shots even earlier.
So he's close. He's close to the Tsars, the royal family. So he's in. He's fucking there. He's got the ear of the most powerful people in the country. And everyone is a little bit like...
Also, he was born a peasant as well. This is the other thing. So if you were... this is another reason why Rasputin... Like you say, leaned into it, was because he was born impoverished in Siberia in 1872. Or was it 69? Which one was it?
It might have been 69.
Oh, I don't know, actually. I don't know when he was actually
1869, I think. Hmm. I don't know why I said 1872. 1869 he was born, impoverished in Siberia. And apparently he actually left the village he lived in because he was trying to escape punishment for having stolen horses. So he was not a wealthy man to have found himself in such a position of influence. Like, you would use that. Now, it's weird, actually, because the thing about the aspirin, which is almost single-handed, like, that's why he cured the boy.
Yeah.
It is why he cured the boy. But they didn't know that aspirin had anti-clotting agents until the 1950s, apparently.
Wow. Jeez. So okay.
Yeah, yeah. So this, and I'm not therefore implying that Rasputin knew. I'm saying that Rasputin was making shit up and getting away with it.
Yeah, he rolled the fucking dice and he was very lucky. He's just like, make him stop taking his medication.
Yeah, and if you find yourself that close to the royal family, you're not going to let that go, are you? If you came from where Rasputin came from.
As someone who would, I imagine, he was kind of passing himself off as a mystic, the first thing is like 101 is like, anyone taking medication? Listen, I'm a mystic. Say, fuck the medication.
Absolutely.
Do what I say. And it's like, he didn't know. He was just like, fuck it. Just stop taking it.
For sure. He didn't know what he was doing.
No.
How could he?
No, he is the biggest. Yeah. He's like an open mic.
He's Yuri Geller. That's what he is.
Yuri Geller.
He is. He's Yuri Geller, but with better smarts.
Yeah.
Yes. And he didn't like. And there was no James Gandy around to.
To debunk
fuck
his...
him up on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no TV, so he's like, fuck it, I can get away with this forever.
Yeah, I think Rasputin really courted the controversy. I don't think he bought an awful lot of the stuff he was peddling. Because he would, like...
Yeah, of course.
He would do things like he'd go into a trance and start going, oh, yeah. I'm going to heal things. And, you know, put curses on people. And I think an awful lot of it is showmanship.
I totally imagine him doing that and then, like, catching the eye of, like, a handmaiden, like, winking at her. Yeah, and then, like, keep that. Going. He'd be like, whoa!
Well, I mean, like, he had a voracious sexual appetite, didn't he?
Yeah, he loved a bone.
Just as you said that, Chris, I'm like, I just pictured him and his fucking beard, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, just him like going for it.
Wasn't it the guy who tried to have him assassinated, like set him up with a bunch of basically like call girls, and got them to take pictures on some old camera, and. Like, there's just pictures of Rasputin, like, partying naked with these babes.
That's fucking hilarious.
And then when they went, we've got these pictures of you, Rasputin, and he was like,
yeah.
I don't care.
They're like, wait, what? He's like, yeah.
I look hot in all of his... He looked like a fucking Don.
With angle on my dick.
Partying with a bunch of girls, yeah. Like, with his giant penis.
So those pictures are online, right? We could...
You'll get it all in there. Very
yeah, he probably asked to be like, no, you need to be further back. So that's
oh my goodness. You know, there's this theory that D.B. Cooper is actually Tommy Wiseau. I think Rasputin is actually Tommy Wiseau.
Oh my God, do you think Tommy Wiseau is 150 years old?
I think D.B. Cooper is actually... Rasputin.
Tommy Wiseau, I've met, and he's about 5'4" maximum.
Well, we don't know. I mean, like, Rasputin could have been wearing lifts.
Rasputin was nearly 6 foot, which...
Nearly 6 foot?
Yeah, which doesn't sound that tall now, but back 100 years ago in Russian society, he he towered above.
And the beard. The beard was fairly foreboding.
Beard, scary eyes.
Yeah.
Stinky boy.
Yeah, he smelled. He looks like someone who stunk.
He looked like he'd smell like, you know, have you ever been in a cow shed? Doesn't even have cows in it. And you're like, oh, there's been cows in here, aren't there?
Yeah, that's you're right. It smells like their piss and not their shit.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, it's not a slurry stink.
They've pissed all over this hay.
There's ammonia and wood in here.
This hay is covered in piss.
This hay is covered in piss. Chris goes on stage and goes, guys, what do you reckon Rasputin smelled like? And they're like, oh my God, it's the Rasputin guy again. Oh. Geek, that was amazing. film it. He's amazing.
Yeah, he definitely, we went to a city farm recently, so I know the exact smell you're talking about. I'm like, that's Rasputin's. You smell him before he walks
in
the room, you're
like horse shit doesn't smell bad. No. Horse piss. Oh baby. What the fuck is that in my nose? It's gross. Yeah.
So he's just kind of fucking around but he's lucky. He's getting lucky, Rasputin. Mm. And he's like making these, he's just calling shit out. He's like, don't do this, do this. And then it works.
And he's making such a name for himself that obviously tensions are... By this, I mean they're so high that a revolution was not long to follow.
Brewing,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
The very fact that he was aligned with the royal family just made a lot of people hate him by association. And that also means that a lot of the press. So that's why a lot of the press depicted him unfavorably, quite unfavorably as well, as this kind of like antichrist almost. So the guy that had, he'd been a mentor and then turned against Rasputin and denounced him, the Guseva, who had been a follower of this guy and then tried to kill Rasputin, Iliador was the name of the priest that she was
following,
mm-hmm. Who had denounced Rasputin. He was a radical conservative and anti-Semite.
Which was very popular back then.
He'd been part of a cabal of establishment figures who had attempted to like drive a wedge between Rasputin and the Romanovs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But this didn't work. And so Iliador, because of this, was banished from St. Petersburg and defrocked.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
And are we going to find out what happened to him? Because I think it's amazing.
In my head, so, when you said defrocked, they just pull it up over his head.
But like, give us that.
His dick and balls are just hanging.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
He's just got a swimming hat on and his little brown egg.
And they come and tap his head.
They tap his head. Like,
and he's like, aww.
Get out of your little brown egg. Off you go.
Get out of here. Your little brown egg, be on your way. And Chris, can we say where he ended up eventually?
We can, but in a minute.
We'll get to
in
it.
A minute.
Okay, fine. Because I think it's amazing.
I'll hand the reveal over to you, Suze, because...
Because look at me, I'm itching.
Guseva said that she acted alone because she'd read about Rasputin in the newspapers and fell for the propaganda and said that he was an antichrist. But the police and Rasputin himself thought that Iliador had instigated this assassination attempt. And he fled the country before he could be questioned. Over to you, Suze.
Okay, so he fled the country... and he did end up living in New York, working as a janitor. He died in the 50s.
What the fuck?
Yep.
He worked as a janitor at the MetLife Insurance Tower.
Holy shit.
He did.
And he died in the fucking 50s. Literally.
He died in 1952.
52. There we go.
Fucking hell. What the fuck?
He wrote a book about Rasputin.
Jesus.
Yep. He wrote a semi-autobiographical book about Rasputin. He co-wrote the song with Boney M.
He was the one who provided the line. He was like, now there was a cat who really was gone.
This is going to blow your mind, Masood. He's the guy dancing in the back.
He's Boney. He played himself in a film about Rasputin.
I'm not kidding. One of the people who supported Iliador, because Iliador changed his name to Sergei Trufanov.
Trufanov.
Great name.
So he was supported in his memoir about Rasputin by Gorky, Maxim Gorky.
What the fuck?
Oh.
Holy shit. Jesus.
Rasputin. 5-time Nobel Prize nominee, Gorky.
Fucking
hell.
Fuck me.
Because Gorky had hoped that Iliador's story would discredit the Tsar's family.
Right. Okay, yeah. But no, he sounds like a crazy janitor in New York.
Yeah.
Just talking shit. Yeah.
So
let's zip back to Russia.
He had gone, he had gone into hiding and was one of the people that concocted a plan to kill Rasputin in early 1916. He tried to bribe the Tsarina, who was Alexandra, the mother of Alexei, who had fallen for Rasputin's charms.
He just seemed like a very silly woman.
Yeah, in June 1916, which was obviously about, 6 months before Rasputin actually was killed?
Yeah.
Iliador sailed to New York. The silent film, The Fall of the Romanovs.
Yeah, he played himself
in 1917. Yeah.
I mean, this guy is a fame-hungry boy. He probably did spend 30 years very bitter that he ended up a janitor, because he used to be, like, an influencer.
Yeah. I just imagine him like
Instagram guy
mopping the fucking MetLife building and just like cursing in Russian.
Yeah. And he was only about 40 when he ended up in New York, and he would have just been like,
so in 1918, he returned to Soviet Russia. And he
didn't he end up working for Lenin?
He offered his services to Lenin.
Jesus.
And he lived for several years back there. But in 1922, he took his family back to New York City, where he became a Baptist and worked as a janitor in the Metropolitan Life Insurance Tower.
I really like the idea.
He spent the remainder of his life in New York City. But there is another little detail about this. Yeah, he was in the film The Fall of the Romanovs as himself. The following year, in 1918, he published his book. But then this guy Casimir Pelenes corresponded with the American Jewish Committee, and he claimed to be Iliador's agent.
What?
But do you know who Casimir Pelenes is?
No.
No.
Who is that?
Casimir Pelenes, also known as Casimir Palmer, also known as Casimir Palmer Pelenes, was a private investigator, a British secret agent, and a spotter for Scotland Yard.
Oh, yes, I do now know who this guy is. Yes!
He was a spotter for Scotland Yard, but he was recruited by Piotr Rakowski as an informant for Russian Okhrana to work among Latvian terrorists.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
he
shit.
Testified at the Houndsditch murders trial, which is also known as the Siege of Sydney Street, and that was in January 1911. His occupation was given as an interpreter to Thames Police Court. And then in 1917, as a British intelligence format, he caused the arrest of Leon Trotsky in Nova Scotia by British naval authorities.
Yes!
Holy shit.
And then Casimir accused Trotsky of carrying $10,000, which he alleged had been provided by pro-German sources. No such money was found on Trotsky or the people that Trotsky was with at the time. But nevertheless, Trotsky was arrested and interred.
Jesus.
Holy shit. So this is like, this is what I mean. Like, there are all links here from
it's
possible ways for us to jump forward. But we're talking about Rasputin. So
yes.
To go back to Rasputin, this was from the failed assassination attempt where he miraculously got better when he was lucky. He just survived.
Yeah, he was just super lucky.
He was, and he was never quite right ever again. Like, no. He felt like shit for the rest of his life after this.
Yeah. It is also worth pointing out that he was stabbed in the stomach.
Yeah.
And it gave him it exacerbated a thing that he already had, and it's important for later. Not much later, because we're getting to it. Because in 1916, bearing in mind Iliador had fled in June 1916 after a failed attempt to kill Rasputin. Mm-hmm. In December 1916, there was a group of like Russian nobles. Like, so there was the main guy is called Yusupov, Felix Yusupov. Mm-hmm. And he was a prince, Prince Felix, a Grand Duke named Dmitry Pavlovich. And there was a right wing politician called Vladimir Purishkevich, and they decided that Rasputin's influence over the royal family, well, specifically Alexandra, but the Romanovs as a whole, they grew increasingly concerned that his influence was poisoning the empire. It threatened their empire, so they decided they were going to kill him. Led him to Prince Felix's palace, which is just a big house, big grand old house.
Yeah, yeah.
Not really a palace.
You call like this palace? This
if you look at the if you look at the pictures, it looks like a nice townhouse.
This is just nice townhouse. I live in palace.
I'm gonna look it up.
This is bullshit. But I'll go in because there are drinks and women.
It's called Moika Palace.
How's that spelled?
It's just on the river. So it looks like a row of townhouses.
Moika
Palace. M-O-I-K-A
Palace. Yeah. So actually, this building looks like I've got family in Vienna because the Schneiders, which is my mum's side of the family, they're Viennese. And there's quite a lot of buildings in Vienna that look a lot like this. But it's amazing, and I'm sure it's huge. Mm. But yeah, like you say, this isn't like...
It's not a mansion.
The most incredible palace.
Because I think it's worth pointing out that, like, there's a reason that, like, left-wing politics, like, surged up at this point in Russia. Because... And was so anti-monarchy.
Yeah.
But even then, like, if that's... It's because there was, like, a decadence, like, and that permeated through the 20th century. So, like, part of this East-West Cold War that eventually happened between Russia, like, the Soviet Union and us, basically, was because they... It was against decadence. They saw the West as decadent, and that was a knock-on effect of this anti-monarchy feeling that drew the Bolsheviks to rise up and revolt. And Rasputin was a key ingredient in that, because he was so, not only was he so closely linked to the royal family, but he also was painted to be this villain, so everybody thought that Rasputin was a bad influence on already ineffective and bad leaders.
Yeah, gotcha.
So it's like, get rid of him. We can.
I mean, like,
just
to be honest, regardless of Rasputin, the revolution probably would have still happened. But
he didn't create.
No, he didn't exist in a vacuum. No, but he was a great villain for people to like direct their.
That's it. It's like how Trump is a symptom. He's not a disease. Yeah.
I'm really interested to talk more about Rasputin after we get through the story because. It's like, do you think? Oh, we'll get to this in a minute. Anyway, we'll.
Okay.
But the actual attempt to kill him, they lured him to the palace, and this was because obviously this is also worth pointing out that the Russians followed a different calendar at this point, even in 1916.
Oh, okay.
The Gregorian calendar. Yeah.
Is that where Sunday's the first day of the week? Because if it is, fuck those guys.
Well, it's because this is actually a very good point and quite timely for when we're recording this. But it meant the Russians were late to the Olympics one year because they followed a different calendar. It's true. Look it up.
Shit.
That's amazing.
It's true. The Russians were late.
Oh, sorry. We didn't know.
Yeah. They were late to... or were they early? One of the two.
Anyway, 1908.
Because they were following the wrong calendar. They turned up to the Olympics at the wrong time.
That's fucking ridiculous.
So, in December 1916, Felix Yusupov had lured him there. And this is where the story gets a little bit out of control. Because if you believe the actual myth, Rasputin just wouldn't fucking die.
Yeah, yeah. Like, everything they did to him should kill a man.
So,
first
of all, they lured him and they fed him cakes that were poisoned.
Yes.
Cyanide.
And then he drank wine that they had poisoned. Yeah. And he ate liberally. He drank like a fish.
Well, they were his favorite food. They were like lovely cream cakes and he loved to drink wine.
And they didn't have any effect. They were laced with poison that would kill 10 men. And he felt no effects.
Mm-hmm.
And then, perturbed by this, they fucking shot him. Like 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
They shot him in the chest. And then they were like, shit. The plan was that one of them was going to disguise themselves as Rasputin so he would be seen leaving the house alive.
That's so shit.
That's such
and
a
so they
plan.
Went in disguise as Rasputin, leaving him at the townhouse, the palace.
Mm.
They left him there and then they went back like as themselves, not dressed as Rasputin anymore, to go and deal with the body. But when they got back there, he leapt up and attacked them.
Mm-hmm.
So they shot him again. And then... Yeah. So then he managed to break away. And this is the story that I know. He left the house, stumbled out towards the river because the palace is right on the river.
Yeah.
He stumbled towards the river. Mm-hmm. They shot him again and then once in the head.
Mm.
Right.
And then they bundled him in a bag and they threw him in the river.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should have just pushed him in the river. I mean,
and then he floated, floated down the river. I don't know, like a distance, and then he washed up. And then the people that found him still breathing.
Fuck.
Yeah.
The poison, the gunshots, including one in the head, and there's then some tell of his body being dismembered, and he was stabbed, and they hacked his penis off.
Because his dick's in a museum.
That's right. Yes.
What is it?
And. That is the mystery of Rasputin. Was he really that difficult to kill?
Yeah.
Mm.
Answer, no.
There are reasons why the cakes and the wine didn't kill him. There are reasons why the gunshots didn't kill him. And he was dead before they threw him in that river.
Yeah. So the story of him being found still breathing is a lie.
Yeah.
The post-mortem found his penis attached to his body.
Yes.
And his daughter wrote a book where she said he couldn't have sweet things because it gave him an acid reflux, so he would never eat anything like cakes.
Yeah.
That was exacerbated by being stabbed in the stomach 2 years earlier.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't eat sweet things. So it's basically the story of him being really difficult to kill is a continuation of this idea of him being a mystical villain.
Yeah, beforehand. It's the myth that permeates over the truth,
But it has given him, like, a huge degree of...
Notorious!
That's why he's sort of like... I mean, there is actually a picture of his dead body.
Yes!
With the bullet wound in his forehead.
Yeah.
Mm.
I just love the thing of like, okay, so plan is you go out, you pretend to be Rasputin. Okay. Hey, I'm just Rasputin walking around. Who wants to see my big dick? Yeah.
And then they like pull it out and it's really little and they go, oh, that's not Rasputin.
Rasputin. Here I am. Okay, go behind bush. Take off clothes. Okay, here I go.
He's like, I'm just normal guy now. His dick is in a
takes
a
off
jar.
The wig and he goes...
And they're like, oh, you do little brown egg bit. It's very bad.
It's very bad.
His dick is in a museum in a big jar, right? It's this huge dick in a big jar. Hey, Masood, you know you can Google a picture of Rasputin's dick in a jar.
Way ahead of your Sue's.
But it's not. It's a horse. It's a horse cock.
I've,
it's a horse dick in a jar. His dick was never cut off.
No, it was never. Yeah, it's a.
And the one that's in the jar, you wouldn't want to put it up here.
No, it's very grim.
You wouldn't want to splish splash take a bath with that.
With that splish splash take a bath.
Another bony M hit.
That's the true bony M. That dick in a jar. It's just a horse dick.
It's a dick in
Someone
a jar.
Someone put a horse dick in a jar. Probably Shergar's dick. Your mum probably cut it off.
She probably did.
She was like, it was part of the deal, Masood. What was I supposed to do? Say no?
Yeah, he definitely died before... all that other crazy
there
shit.
There was
happened.
No water in his lungs in the post.
Yes, so this idea of him still being alive when he went in the water, not true.
No.
Yeah.
Because what actually happened? Because what was it like? They just got him into that room. He didn't eat any of the cakes. He didn't drink any of the wine. Well, he probably drank some of the wine. And then,
if you want to know, I mean, like, no one will ever really know what happened. But to be honest, what probably happened is that they cornered him in the room and shot him. And threw him in the river.
Yeah.
That's like...
No CCTV.
Exactly.
But it's interesting. I mean, it's interesting that this sort of like fear that people had about him, that then it was like, can he ever really die? Because they actually exhumed his body and burnt it.
Like, and he was still alive when they took him up.
Yeah.
You can't...
Ow!
He was like
Will Ferrell in Austin Powers.
Yeah. He does the like man on fire thing you rarely see in films anymore, where you're like, fucking hell, he's still around. Oh, Jesus. He's screaming as he does it. Notoriously difficult stunt, that. Very, very tough.
Is it? The man on fire stunt?
You don't see it anymore, because I think it's A, expensive, and B, incredibly hard, because it's like, you're on fire.
But also, computers can do it.
Computers can do it. It's cheaper to do it on computers.
Just add some flame. Probably do it in After Effects.
Yeah. Probably can do it.
Which I've never learned to use.
So he was murdered in December 1916. It was in March 1917 that Tsar Nicholas eventually abdicated the throne. So not that long afterwards.
Yeah. And under pressure. He wasn't just like, look, you know what? Yeah. This has
now,
been going on long
because
enough.
Because when the Tsar abdicated the throne, when Tsar Nicholas... gave up power in March.
Yeah.
That was when they exhumed Rasputin's body and burnt it. A detachment of soldiers did that because they didn't want Rasputin's grave to become a rallying point for supporters of the royal family following the revolution.
Shit. Okay, right.
Yep.
So they're like, right, we better fucking nip this shit in the bud.
Mm-hmm.
Get this out of here. Burn that. He's still alive. So, I don't give a shit. Burn it.
Nah, yeah. Get rid. Yeah.
And there is another theory that could explain later tensions, because some people think that the British Secret Service were involved in that assassination plan on Rasputin.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so apparently, according to the theory goes is that British agents were not comfortable that Rasputin was urging Tsar Nicholas to make a separate peace with Germany, because this was while World War One was happening.
Right.
Yeah, it was well underway.
Yeah, so it was the midpoint. So they, British intelligence, did not like the idea that Rasputin was urging Nicholas to make a separate peace with Germany, because that would allow Germany to concentrate its military efforts on the Western Front.
Right.
So even though this theory is quite prominent, but there are different branches of it, they all seem to just point to this idea that British secret agents... And remember... There is that one guy who was acting as pretending to be the showbiz agent of Iliador.
Yes.
Yeah. I like the fact he had an accent like the one we're doing, like, hey, everybody, I'm Russian. And they're like, he always speaks English. It's weird. It's like the third series of Killing Eve where they just can't even be asked to speak Russian anymore.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Everyone
she just English. Goes, I speak English now, deal with it.
all of these theories, the general gist is that British secret agents, they were actually directly involved in planning of the assassination attempt and carrying it out under the command of two people called Samuel Hoare.
Grow up.
Don't laugh. He was the first. He was first Viscount Templewood. So he was a knight. He was also a Knight of the Realm, Sir Samuel Hoare. And he was a senior British Conservative politician who served in various cabinet posts in the Conservative and National governments in the 1920s and 30s. So at this point, he wasn't quite there, but he would have been in British intelligence at that point. He was apparently a senior figure in this plot, as was Oswald Rayner, who he was a genuine British agent in Russia during World War One, and he is believed by some to have been involved in the final murder plot against Rasputin.
Okay. I just picture him in that room with all of them, like they're all properly dressed as czars, but he's like wearing a ridiculous like almost czar outfit that someone had poorly researched, like two bright colors, and he's like, yes, let us give him some more vodka.
It's like it also says
that
from a play, from a terrible
says here that even play. though Oswald Rayner is considered by some people to have been a key figure in the plot against Rasputin, the archives of the British Intelligence Service do not hold a single document linking him, Hoare, or any British agent or diplomat to the murder of Rasputin. But they wouldn't, would they?
Well, of course not. They wouldn't be like,
I don't
think
you can say that because the Secret Service doesn't have a document about something that it didn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it did happen. Yeah. But what I am saying is you can't point to the absence of evidence in paperwork.
Well, this is a real conspiracy theorist thing. Like, if there's not film footage showing something happened, and I'll go further, if there's not film footage from several angles and sources seeing something happened, they will suggest didn't happen then, and we will talk about that.
Yeah. But the point is that when it comes to sort of like secret intelligence work, from 100 years ago, the fact that there is no paper trail doesn't mean that something didn't happen.
So I
mean, like, you can't write this off, I don't think, because there is a really good reason there for the British to want Rasputin out of the way, if you were to follow that train of thought. Anyway, there's another link here, because Oswald Rayner went to Oxford University with none other than Prince Felix Yusupov, whose house Rasputin was murdered in.
Oh, shit! Hey, Felix, I hear you got a really good house on the river. Yes, it is. It's very nice. For murder? Why did you mention that? I was just saying he had a nice house.
Why did you turn 90 degrees and look into the distance? No reason.
No reason.
Well, don't worry about it. It's not important.
So, to be fair, a lot of historians don't think that the British had much to do with it.
Right.
So there's no convincing evidence that places any British agents at the murder scene, which I suppose is fair enough.
Yeah.
Well,
it's funny that, because I think, like, I feel like Russia was definitely cleaning up house in-house, if you know what I mean, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They're very much like, look, we can deal with it ourselves, because they had a lot of crazy shit happening there.
I'm really trying to get my head around the fact that, quite recently in history, in, like, a country is, like, I mean, it happens all of the time now, where regimes get overthrown.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of a country rising up and killing their royal family...
That's mad.
Can you, like, imagine that happening now?
Yeah, I'll...
In this country?
No, absolutely not.
Like,
it's... And they, they dragged him into a basement and shot them all, didn't they?
Listen.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll talk about that next week, Masood.
We're going to do Anastasia!
It's absolutely boggles my mind.
Journey to the West.
That was a DreamWorks film.
Wasn't Meg Ryan the voice
of
Anastasia
fail
in that?
Me now. She wasn't the fucking singing voice, but
Angela Lansbury's in it as well.
Oh, yeah! As the teapot. Yeah. That is the story of Rasputin. I mean, like, Rasputin probably lived a colourful life before all of this, but for our intents and purposes, it was the mystery around the murder of Rasputin. Yeah, it was the mystery of his death, or the legend of his death, but also his proximity to the royal family and what this might have kicked off.
Yeah.
So his daughter, like I say, survived until 1977.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She, after the, I mean, do you know what? When like you get these sort of like huge moments in history, and obviously life carried on after it. We're testament to that. But like life carrying on immediately after that is what fascinates me. So basically, like she, it's like after the Bolshevik Revolution, she became a lion tamer. I mean.
It's yeah, it's a jump. It's, so it's a hell of a jump. But who else would have? I mean, I can't imagine her not being a lion tamer.
Yeah, it would. Thing. Yeah, it's like I'm Rasputin's daughter. I tame lions.
There's a great photograph of her in 1932 being a circus performer.
Oh, I'm gonna look at this. Yeah, Rasputin's daughter,
Maria Rasputina.
Here she is.
Is that the one where she's got like the weird sort of crown on
and like a magic wand?
Yeah.
Look at her. She's got his eyes.
Yeah, she
you'll
definitely
have your
has
father's eyes. There's a picture of her with a lion, and she's literally like, the lion is too much.
Just so, yeah. But she's so nonplussed, she's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
So then when it gets this to lion. 1930, you've got press actually just sort of like doing full interviews with her, because that's 14 years after Rasputin died. Like, to put that back
like
on
its all
axis,
ancient history.
It's absolutely bonkers to me that, like, I mean, I met my gran personally.
Mm-hmm.
And she was born 3 years after Rasputin died.
Right.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
That's mad.
Yeah.
That's
how time works, I guess.
There are people who are still alive who, it's not, they'll remember Rasputin.
There are people who are alive now
who were alive when Rasputin died.
Yeah. And,
which is crazy.
And also, like, so there's that woman in France.
Because he feels like 300 years
old. That woman in France, isn't there, who is like, she's 120 or something? She's 120. Like,
oh, what, the one who's the oldest woman
who
ever lived?
Yeah, so she'd be
she's
16 when Rasputin. When Rasputin died.
Wow. Like, oh, is there a woman now who's 120?
I thought she was like 120, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to look up oldest woman. Oldest woman. Here we go. So the oldest woman ever was born in 1875.
Yeah,
oldest woman ever.
Died in
1997.
Yeah. She's called Jeanne Calment. And so she was born 3 years after Rasputin, and she died in 1997.
That's crazy.
It's crazy, isn't it? We were all alive. We were all at school.
Yeah.
So who's the woman who's alive now? Living. Cain Tanaka is still alive. She is Japanese.
Oh, she's
she
like
was born in. She was born in 1903.
Yeah.
So
she
was
13
when Rasputin died.
Jesus.
Yeah. She's 118.
118, sorry, yeah.
And I bet if we asked her, we were like, hey, so Rasputin, what do you think? She'd be like, that guy, I'd suck his dick. She has a Russian accent.
Oh, you have to when you're talking about Rasputin.
Maria also had children and grandchildren, and they're still alive now.
Oh, let's see if we can get interviews.
Okay, so Maria, and this is kind of why I wanted to get onto a little bit before we stop talking about like the legend of Rasputin compared to what the man actually probably maybe was like.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So Maria said, and she wrote a memoir all about Rasputin, her father, because she loved him. She said that all of this stuff about him being evil and depraved was propaganda that people had fallen for. Yeah, sure, he might have been a chancer and like pretending
he was
a mystic healer.
He was a grifter who loved the bonzo.
She has told her own grandchildren that her father, Rasputin, taught her to be generous. And one of the things she said was he told her she should never leave home with empty pockets, but should always give something to the poor.
Aww,
and apparently,
lovely Rasputin.
Her granddaughter, she recalled in 2005 that according to Maria, Rasputin, her infamous great-grandfather, was a simple man with a big heart who loved Russia, God, and the Tsar. But the thing is that we know what propaganda is like, so it can cause a lot of people to believe stuff. And if that is perpetuated by this notorious myth of his death, the fact that he wouldn't die, because somebody who won't die after being shot, poisoned, stabbed, and then thrown in the river,
that sounds
conjures
like somebody
up
evil.
This image of somebody. Like evil.
A demon-like person
now,
who's...
What do you think about what Rasputin was actually like, Suze? Do you think his evilness was exaggerated?
Well, I think it's non-existent. I think this guy is like the original grifter. He's obviously not the original grifter, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's the sort of person who's, this is, you know, pre-internet, pre-computers. He's going, I can use infamy for my own gains. I think he was incredibly smart, incredibly audacious, and he knew how to trick his way into high society and become a man of influence. And that's a powerful drug. Like, power is a powerful drug, and he found a way to have power. But I don't think he was tyrannical. I think he loved to bone, and he liked to live the high life, and he found a way to do that.
Yeah.
And he found that people loved, they were like, oh my God, that guy, he's kind of crazy. Look at him, he's got crazy eyes. And Rasputin was probably like, yeah, crazy eyes, right? And he'd go like...
And play up to it, yeah.
Yeah. He'd just look around and people were like, oh shit, it's that fucking crazy guy again. He's like...
That's it.
Yeah.
And he was smart enough. I believe he was smart enough to figure out like, this fucking aspirin, I don't think he knew what hemophilia was or what aspirin did, but he was like... Every time they give that kid aspirin, the kid gets worse. And so he'd go, don't treat him. I'm just thinking of him.
Yeah.
I don't think he genuinely thought he was healing the kid.
No.
By his thoughts. But everybody else did, and that's all that matters.
That was important, yeah.
It was the winking as he was, like, healing him. You know, he's like, whoa! Turned into, like, the whoa. Little...
There's probably some truth in the fact that he found himself in a position of influence, so he used it to influence the Tsar.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And it's, so like that is going to be worrying to opponents of Tsar Nicholas.
That's it. I think there's an awful lot of jealousy as well. Like, people were jealous of charisma, and Rasputin was walking charisma. Yeah,
how much do you think of it was classism? Because bearing in mind he was a peasant.
Oh, he was
definitely that was
100%.
And also, this is like we were saying earlier.
Are we defending Rasputin? Is this a Rasputin?
I love him.
This is an
era of terrible anti-Semitism. And anti-Semitism was a term that was basically invented towards the end of the 19th century.
Hmm.
Because they were like, well, we'll call it anti-Semitism because then it's not racism. Like, anti-Semitism is just racism, but it's dressed up as this term for the last 150 years so it can be separate from racism. And it was really fashionable to be a big old anti-Semite in the early part of the 20th century. I think Rasputin, who's not Jewish at all, but I think it all links up.
Right.
I think it all links up. There's this element of, like, different is bad and he's different. Mm. And it was cool to think that way as long as you didn't dress it up as... Well, I just hate them because they're different. You could say, no, it is actually bad.
Yeah.
He was depicted in, like, political cartoons and articles and stuff as a demon.
I saw some earlier, and there's, like, one of him, like, he's, like, reaching around and grabbing a woman's boob.
Yeah,
and
so, like, there's one actually where... Yeah, so there's one where it's the Tsar and the Tsarina, and they're, like, little... figures,
oh yeah,
and then he's looming, like, over them.
Yeah,
it's like with the big beard and the.
It's totally like what Sue said. It's like this thing of, here's somebody who literally walked in through the front door of the fucking palace and was like, "I'm here, baby," and they're like,
"Yeah, what the fuck is me?"
Yeah.
And all these royals were like, "Ah ha ha, that Rasputin, he's a real cut up." They thought he was great. It was like Chris doing his type 5 on Rasputin.
Exactly. They're like, "This guy's a genius."
Like, they were just like, "It's amazing." And then Masu's like, "But what about little Browning?"
And they're like, "Get out of here."
And they're like, "Shut up, Iliador Masoud."
Masoud.
There was that. So I think there was a lot of jealousy, and people will do anything to big up their jealousy to make it sound valid, and I think that went into overdrive over a period of years. Like, Rasputin was there for a while,
so like it wasn't like it wasn't just towards the end of his life.
This isn't like, oh, for 2 years he was around and then they killed him. He was around for a long time.
He was
over a decade.
He definitely, the regarding the myth of his death, I think, like, they shot him. No one knows what happened in the room, but they definitely shot him.
Yeah, I mean, like, also, he was shot in the head. That's probably what killed him.
Yeah.
I think that would kill him.
Do you think? Do you reckon?
I reckon they probably went for a few body shots and they're like...
Yeah, you can see the picture of his dead body with the gunshot in the head.
Yeah.
But it's like... What version of the story had you heard, Masoud?
Well, I'd heard pretty much a thing of him... the story I had heard is that, yeah, he basically trekked across Russia, waltzes into the fucking palace, and is like, what's up, everybody? Hangs out, chats shit for years. But yeah, exactly. Like, no one really, like, they like him, but some people were like, who's this fucking guy? Like, yeah. he's kind of poisoning what we've got going on here, as we sort of covered. And I did hear the same story about him getting poisoned and then stabbed.
But not noticing and just carrying on.
And not noticing and carrying on. But I think, yeah, the thing I always thought was like, yeah, I think he just got away with it, what he could do. And there's probably other stuff that we don't know that he didn't get away with. You know, like he would have, there's definitely stuff he would have suggested. People would have been like, what the fuck are you talking about? As those, you know, as chances are, you don't hear about the shit that goes wrong. Not that anything went
That's
wrong,
it.
But, you know, you don't hear about that other stuff. I think, yeah, he totally leaned into, I mean, why the fuck else would you grow the beard? Look at that fucking beard. You don't just, you're not, like, that's part of his thing.
He always had it as well, didn't he? There's even photographs from when he was,
He grew it when he was 9.
Before he was in, he grew it as a disguise so that they wouldn't catch him for stealing the horses.
Stealing that horse.
But, like, he had this beard even, like, so when he converted to religion, this huge, 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 huge beard.
Yeah.
On farm, there's a picture of him on a farm with some of his children. Big beard then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he always seemed to have it. And
do you think it was a peasant thing? Like, that class always had that beard?
Well, I mean,
it might have started out like that, but I think he knew that because everyone else would have been...
And he never got rid of it.
Everyone else would have been clean shaven. So he would have been like, look, I can hold power by being this fucking rough, crazy looking dude. Because that's the other thing as well. Is like his.
He looked a bit like Alan Moore.
Yeah.
He does look like Alan Moore.
I think also the propaganda around him plays into his death a lot too. So
yeah,
like
for
obviously
sure.
You know, we sort of cover the thing of like, oh well, he's this fucking mythical creature. Like, why wouldn't they also just be like, well, let's kind of fob around with that, you know, like keep that up.
Yeah.
Why not?
That's it.
Yeah, I think he definitely... Do you think Alan Moore definitely fashioned his look off of Rasputin?
Alan Moore was like, I just love Rasputin.
Yeah, you know, Rasputin's a big hero of mine.
That's fucking good,
like
Alan Moore.
We're all doing our Alan Moore impressions.
I don't know whether you've seen how big his dick is.
This is good content for new listeners.
Absolutely.
Welcome. I made a butter sculpture of Rasputin's penis.
Chris is still doing it.
Yep.
Chris is like, hey guys, bit of a departure tonight. I'm like, are you going to do the Rasputin stuff? No.
No. No, Alan Moore butter
he goes on, he's like, I'm doing 5 minutes, Alan Moore. Like, oh, do the Rasputin stuff. And then Masood's like, I can't believe he's doing that shit while putting on the swimming cap. And I'm like, oh. And then I just do stuff about the Olympics. But I don't do jokes, I just go, Max Whitlock.
Suze remembers things from the 1990s, but she doesn't remember any of my comic books.
I do, I know what the Watchman is. I really like the blue guy.
With the giant dong, who I fashioned off of Rasputin.
I liked his giant dong. He was called Rasputin.
Rasblutin.
Oh, no.
Chris, stop writing it down. Don't do it in the act.
It
works.
I'm writing it down right now.
Oh, Christ. Oh, my God, I hate this guy's new comedy.
I think that's a good starting point.
Yes.
Great starting point.
For where we're going to go.
And I think this Rasputin guy might come up in the view.
And also, we are we're basically putting on a blindfold now and sort of like trudging our way through the 20th century trying to make links and make paths. Yes, we are, but don't tell them that.
Okay.
Shh, don't listen to that bit. Yeah, we're gonna tie little knots. It's gonna be like writing an Edinburgh show.
Yeah, it's basically just doing the Pepe Silvio wall. That's what we're doing. From
it all links back to
Rasputin. We're back, baby.
Yeah,
like that weird DreamWorks cartoon about dinosaurs called We're Back.
God, remember that? Well, that was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Good old Rasputin.
If you want some partnership material to this, check out DreamWorks animation, which features Rasputin as a crazy mystic with a big magical stick.
Even though technically he would be dead. Hang on a minute, that because he hangs
DreamWorks
out with
film Anastasia, Rasputin is in it.
Yeah.
Yes, he's the villain.
I have not seen it. Why is he the villain? Chris. He was mates with Anastasia.
And he was dead.
He was dead at the time of the timeline.
In
of the
this journey to the past. Leave that in. It's like a song.
Wow. From the... Well, that is the seal broken on season 5.
There we
yeah,
go.
Yeah, this season 5's just lost its virginity.
A new theme series.
Hymen broken.
We're also on Patreon, by the
Absolutely
way.
Absolutely, we are.
Check it out. Patreon.com/mystery.
Lots of cool extra stuff.
That's right.
Including
baby.
A road trip that Chris and I took, and we recorded 15 minutes of fun stuff, but ended up recording over an hour of fun stuff. you get to hear about all the goofs we pulled.
It is like
traffic.
Being in the car with comedians on the way back from a gig.
It literally is.
It literally
yeah.
is that.
You can actually you can sit. Close your eyes and imagine that you're asleep on the back seat listening to us.
Yeah, if you're someone's driving you, say put this on and then just like get cardboard cutouts of me and Chris. Or actually, you could have two people in the front, two seats, put wigs on them to make them look like me and Chris.
Yeah.
And then say, don't turn around whatever you do. Treat this like Orpheus in the underworld. I'm Persephone.
Move your head like you're talking.
You be the girl and you be the guy. They're like, sometimes we don't know which is which.
Sue's just wearing the window down. You wind the window down.
Wind the window down. There is a bit where I wind the window down. And then you have to stop for snacks. And then you have to eat the exact snacks.
Basically, you should send them the journey and the exact time and all the stops that you made. And
yeah,
you two
can through the retrace same roadworks. Yeah.
This entire trip.
It.
They'll have fun doing that because I cut some bits out. So they are going to get to Northampton way after us.
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Shit, man. Anyway, it's really good. Check it out. And also, you can find us on Twitter, twitter.com/mysteryontherocks. Rocks is spelled R-O-X. You can find us on Instagram.
Same.
You can find us on Facebook. You can find us... Just email us. mysteryontherocks, rocks is spelled C-K-S, mysteryontherocks@gmail.com. Send us an email. Like, we love to receive them. If they're nice. And if you want to leave us a review on iTunes, that's really good. It gets us more readers and that. Right? Do that. Leave us a review. We recommend 5 stars. If you don't like what we do and just leave us 1 star, we will end up reading that review out. We'll probably have a really good time, to be honest.
Yeah, that'd be a lot.
Bad reviews, but don't leave us one. Leave us 5 stars.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Cheers. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, little brown egg wizard. Bye.
It's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.